Luke 18. We spent a lot of time on verse 31. So they took them up, then took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Now we just barely touched the surface, but does anybody have any doubts that everything that is written by the prophets?
Yeah, that's pretty wild. It just says it right there. It's done. The cross.
Everybody understand what we've been talking about? About the only kingdoms that were talked about in the prophecies were first Babylon, then what? Then Media-Persia, then Macedonia, Greek, and then Rome. So, from that standpoint, God doesn't see any nations after Rome. He just sees us as either vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. Now, this is a big deal because otherwise, you'll be tempted, Tom, to get involved in politics and have opinions about governments and about whether or not Mexicans should come, Gary. The point of it is, we give breath, positive or negative, to nothing in the world. Does that, anybody have any doubts about that? I guess by your silence, everybody agrees that.
I have a sidetrack question. I heard it preached a long time ago once that God is neither negative or positive. And I suppose that could be true. I was just wondering
what
you
what does that mean?
Is that about the world? I was just asking something on the side.
Well, I don't know what you mean by negative or positive. You mean towards you?
I'm sorry?
Negative or positive towards you or toward what?
The way I interpret it was like his being or nature. Just his.
Well, he's totally positive concerning his will.
There you go.
He's totally negative concerning what isn't his will.
Thank you.
And that's why we must say and see and speak the same thing that he does. That's what it means to confess the Lord Jesus. Homologio. Doesn't mean we confess that he exists, or we don't. It's a whole, which we're in a different world, different kingdom, different nature. That's why it says, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the word love there is agapeo, which just means give and give breath to. If you give importance to anything in the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Are you going to live?
No. Probably. Unfortunately.
Gary, you have an amusing look on your face.
Well, you've said a lot of stuff already. And I'm trying to see where it fits. My understanding.
Why don't we try to make our understanding fit?
I'm just trying to make
process it. Okay.
Yeah. You're more open to the process now, as I've heard. So, the idea that Rome was the last nation, kingdom, whatever that he dealt with as a people. And now he deals with
vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy, the bride or the whore. He doesn't have any dealings with the whore except to ignore her for a time. everything in time and space, all of the governments, policies, their only purpose from God's standpoint is to make sure that the Christ in you is tested in the same way Christ was. And it's not passive. From our perspective, it's extremely active. It's a warfare. But the only warfare is not against anything external. It's against yourself. So that you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Cast down every imagination. And that's, you do that. You have to do that. But you can't do it until you see the emptiness of all of it. As long as you think something in the world is important, you're going to give breath to it. By definition. Let's go to John 16 a minute. Not doing too well, so if I... Anyway. Starting a little bit in John 15. Let's go to... Let's go to verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now we always, when we say, well, all things that you ask in his name is given to you. No, that's not happening.
So loving one another, is that different from loving the world? From people? Is that different from, say, loving possessions or success?
No, it's the same word.
You love a person as an icon.
But that's not what the love here is. The idea of loving, in 1 John, the 5th chapter, it says that everyone that is begotten of God loves those also that are begotten of God. It's not something you try to do, it's a what is. And there's nothing in there about loving the world. Except, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Now it's not just the world, it's things that are in the world. So I giving, and again, love there is the, you got to hear this. This just gets confusing. Because the translators are all talking about, they invented the word agape. The first time it was used was in the Septuagint, when they translated the Bible into all 70 languages. But agapeo is a common verb in Greek language, and it's used for it simply means anything that you give importance to in the world is loving the world. Now you can give importance. What's that?
My phone telling me it has a message.
Oh, Couldn't it wait? Couldn't it wait a little bit before I told you that you had a message?
I'm sorry, the phone has no governor about it. It says wait.
It's got an off button.
I can't read the Bible. About
There's something called a book. It's a new invention.
Kick your old school with this time.
What?
Told him to kick it old school with us.
Anyhow, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It doesn't. That's as plain as. It's a declarative sentence. It's simple. You love the world. You're giving importance to anything in the world. That's what love of the world means. If you give importance to anything in the world, the love of the Father leaves you. Why? He doesn't leave you and leave away, but you bury him. You bury the love of the Father as Christ. You bury Christ in the deepest recesses of your temple because he's not going to occupy where you are.
I'm confused here. In verse 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another, that ye give breath to one another. That's not.
No, this is agape. And agapeo, because it's the only thing you give importance to is loving God and loving the brethren.
Oh, the brethren, okay.
But let's look at some other stuff that he said. In verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love you, would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now, does the world hate you?
My dad does.
What?
My family hates me.
That's not, that has nothing to do with this.
Well, they're the world.
Pardon? Yeah, but it's, they... There, my family hated me too, but was it not because I was a Christian? It's because I was an asshole. Huh?
It's hard to delineate.
No, it's not hard to delineate. It's I was estranged from my family, but it had nothing to do with God. The question is: does everybody that knows you know what you say you believe? Okay, so we got something. If you're his disciple, the world will hate you. That's what it says.
What's the breadth of that world? Is
everything in time and space?
Everything in time and space.
That's the world.
That's the world.
Now the world's not going to hate you if you conform to the world's image. If you do the things that the world does, if you esteem the things the world does, if you truck with the world, you're going to just be one of their own.
I'm not sure that verse 18 says that you will necessarily be hated of the world.
But verse 19 does.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All I'm asking you to do is to, if you believe something and you live something, talk about it to the people around you. If you tell someone that every dream they have, every idea they have, every so-called good work they have is nothing. It's a waste of time. It's a breath of smoke. Well, that's not going to be very popular. But for those that are in the position of being poor, those that are struggling internally and not telling anybody, that's the most wonderful words that you can hear. But if you, if everybody's out there playing the game, they're going to hate you. Because you're poking holes in their balloons. They've got an infinite number of balloons that are they're holding up in the air, trying to make all of each of them, every balloon, like each other, and have it, it's really a meaning, you have a purpose in life. No, you don't. Not if you believe this book.
Your purpose is that Christ be worked out in you.
Well, if you're a disciple of Christ, that be revealed in you. But it's, it, he can't be revealed in you if you've covered him up with your own crap, if your own world stuff.
You know, the other part of it is that you probably are thinking that the world doesn't hate you, it likes you, but it really hates you. I mean, it's like you're out there doing stuff and trying to make things happen or whatever, and thinking that you're in a situation that's, you know, looking at you with admiration or some kind of, you know, at least a pat on the head, but it's not. It's hate.
Well, it's not if you're
it's
a disciple.
Hate. That's what I'm saying. You're being hated, but even if you don't pick it up. So it's from both directions, you know, the perceptions.
Well, I think it's a little deeper than that.
No doubt.
Verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Now, my goodness, there's no other culture in the universe that had more awareness of sin at this time than the Jews did. But if he's saying if he had not spoken unto them, they had not had sin.
They had a very sanitized and ritualized definition of sin that didn't include, you know, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already.
Or if you have a plan to go out and do something, you're committing adultery already.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. I'm just saying that
But point is, the Christian world in America thinks they have a great world and idea of sin. They talk about it all the time. God came to forgive your sin. So now my sins are forgiven and I can just keep walking like a Gentile. That's not what he said. He said that you must die and see your death and be buried in baptism. There's no more. There's no more debate about whether you get sprinkled or dunked or unless you got buried. Unless your mind got buried in baptism, you're not, you just got wet. Well, that's why we baptize every year, because hopefully every year we will see a deeper level where we have been kept, where we have kept ourselves alive. There's no discipleship unless you are a disciple, unless you go to war with yourself. And the way you go to war is you cast down imaginations.
Well,
You bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ.
And yet you're telling us to go out there and talk to the people that are in our world.
Well, you won't talk to them unless you've done that.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to make sure I have it in the right order, because when I hear you say talk to people, sometimes I think about those people who come by and knock on your door and want to tell you about Jesus.
I'm not talking about that.
And I just wonder at what point talking to your people becomes evangelism in the worst sense, not in the...
It becomes what it says in a song we sing every feast, every one of the pilgrimage feasts. It says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. If you believe, you'll speak. If you don't believe, you won't speak. If you believe, you can do nothing but speak.
I believe that. I also believe the reason we get dunked every year is because I obviously don't have it 100%. It's not an on-off thing. It's a little at a time. And so I speak about what has been worked out, and I don't what hasn't.
But, again, you don't have to wonder about what has been spoken and what hasn't. If we believe the Holy Spirit.
No, I never wonder about what has been spoken. I speak what I think I need to speak.
Well, let's go to Isaiah 40 and see.
Okay.
Can you go to Isaiah 40 without your little machine having something?
Ultimately, I cannot guarantee that we'll decide this.
Will you give him a book?
Get Isaiah 45 to anybody else.
Oh, that's really good. Now understand it faster than anybody else. comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak you comfortably, to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a high place for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain shall be made low. Crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places plain or even. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So if you ever wonder what you're going to say, you say that. If you don't believe it, you can't say it.
Yeah, it's like the gospel all in one verse there.
That verse is quoted numerous times in the New Testament. But you don't do that. Why? Because you don't believe that. You believe, each one of us, in some way, believe that if I hold my nose right and my ear right and whatever right, then I'm going to get something that I want. If I do the right thing, I'm going to get something that I want. If I work hard, whatever it is. And that's the lie that you're still dealing with. And you believe, I don't know who it all does, but you must obviously believe that all you have to do is hang around and Jesus Christ is going to do all the work. No. It's finished. The way is finished, but you have to go to war with you to have that way manifested in you. That's why this The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge any disobedience instantly once your obedience is fulfilled. That's a biggie. It's as big as it gets. How much of your time is spent doing that versus how much of your time is spent during figuring out some harebrained idea that you have that you're going to do? This is a full-time job. A disciple is full-time. There's room for nothing else. Now, this is a gospel that isn't preached, as far as I hear.
Well, what's the full-time job here?
Casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, those seven high places of your mind, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That means you give no breath to any thought that isn't truth.
Labor to enter into the rest. Labor to enter into the rest.
So if we ever do enter into the rest, is that possible to enter into the rest?
Amen.
So then at that point, is there something to do?
Just be. Never think about being. Just be.
So there's no more to do.
You just be.
You just be.
And then God will be the doing. But he's not going to use your mind to show it to you.
You can't have it both ways.
Of course he can.
No, you can't. you can't have a whole Bill Bright book of here's what you got to do, so that God can now come out of his grave and be. It's like,
yes, you can. You better do that.
Then
you better not have a Bill Bright book in the first place. You better have only picking up the cross. You better have only dying.
Okay.
Then if you're the empty vessel, the vessel is filled with the Holy Spirit directing your every move without thought.
Okay, so you're not the motivator here. You're not the driver.
You're not in the picture. You're dead.
You're dead. And yet what I hear you saying, I have a lot to do.
If you're not dead, you do.
Can you not believe that I'm dead?
Well, it doesn't appear to be, because you're always defending some position.
Position I'm not defending, I'm fighting against. Every time you say I have to do something, I fight against that, because that's opposite. It's actually opposite of what you used to say.
No, it isn't.
If I ever tell you what to do, shoot me.
Well, if I tell you what to do in the world, that's all I've done is tell you what to do as a disciple.
So as a disciple, I have a lot to do now.
You only have to go to war with your mind.
Yeah, that's a full-time job, then.
You're right.
Can I not believe that baptism actually means something? And
not if you don't agree with it, not if you're not living it.
But I do agree.
But you're not living it, Gary.
By whose standard?
By yours. You keep telling me you have to do, and this is what I have to do. I have to use and effect to do proposals. I have to use all these things. You've said it for years.
I believe that this is God's, what he has given me to do. It's set before me, and I do it. Now, and
what about come out of her, my people, touch not the unclean thing. That's Babylon. That's cause and effect. You don't touch that unclean thing.
That don't touch.
Cause and effect.
Yeah.
What?
You've gone to another place.
No, it isn't, because cause and effect is, by your own admission, is how you live, how you do your job.
I don't use my mind in the sense that you talk, I don't believe. I do what's set before me, and in that I use my whatever I have, my hands, my arms, my feet, my truck, my tools, my mind.
But again,
now,
that's fine,
now,
as long as
you're telling me that God has left me.
If,
because now I'm doing what I've been given to do. So there's a gap here that hasn't been breached, hasn't been crossed.
The gap is your death.
I think the gap is believing. I've accepted my death. That's,
but then you resurrect yourself every time you use your mind. Because when you're using your mind, it can't be a faith. And whatever's not a faith is sin.
Last night, Sandra asked the difference between, made a distinction between shutting down our mind and using our brain. I was going to ask you about that.
Well, that's just the play in words. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, I mean, shutting down our mind doesn't mean we're brain dead in our frontal lobotomy. But there's a distinction made about using our brain or thought versus not letting our mind rule us. That's what I was asking about.
Well, again, let's go to what we just read, or what I just said in 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience once your obedience is fulfilled. That's the job of a disciple. To bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And the obedience of Christ, no thought can stand against it, is finished. Does everybody understand that?
Better question would be, does everybody understand what you mean when you say it?
Well, I mean every thought.
Again, I don't think Sandra's a scholar by any stretch of the imagination, but if she did bring something to...
Meaning about what she said about brain and mind?
Well, that was one of the...
Well, they're the same thing.
She also said that the... which she was discoursing on this, she basically said that the mind has only to do with the past and the future, the brain has to do with what's now. And I can buy that to some extent, because the thoughts... When you say bring every thought into obedience, that I think of those thoughts that are what's going to happen to me tomorrow, what did I do yesterday, what am I, you know, all of those things, and how I've got anything to do with now. Those I can agree with, but I can't feel differently than the kind of thing that Gary has said, that if you're going to, you know, build a box, you still have to measure the damn thing and do the math to figure out what the sides are going to be,
and that's when you take the lowest seat. If you ever have to feel, if you feel like you must do something by using your mind, you say, Father, I don't know what else to do, because you always then take the lowest seat. But if you justify it, which you are trying to do,
it doesn't need justification until somebody tells you that building a box is somehow wrong, because
no,
I thought about it.
It doesn't matter whether it's building a box or building a city or shooting a person. What you're doing is you're using that which is cursed to try to gain that which is blessed.
Well, you asked why we don't understand, and that's what I don't understand. I cannot cross that gap.
Does that bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ when you build your box?
Well, Well, if that's like, I have to agree with Gary. If that's what it said for me to do, to build a box, I build a box.
Yeah, but look, what's set before you to do is bring every thought into captivity through the obedience of Christ. That's why I've said over and over, if you feel you can't do that because of what you're, where you are, then you have to say, Father, forgive me.
Well, I can buy that too, but I mean...
That's all I'm saying.
That's just the... I mean, the thing is that that's like playing a game and then saying, oh, I'll income for you or something like that. I mean, it's like that's the short circuit.
No, listen.
You're in this loop where you never get anywhere.
Because you're trying to mix world and spirit. They're not mixable.
All right.
And
I
so,
don't know.
No, wait. Stop. The promise of God here is, He'll give you whatsoever you need, whether with whatever food, whatever clothing, whatever. We can't quite buy that. So we have to think, we have to lean on our own understanding because something is set before us. For me, I didn't do that. I left the world. Now, because I left the world, then I had to constantly struggle with the issue that you're talking about. And every time I felt I had no option, I said, Father, forgive me. He wants you to have the faith of a mustard seed, so that the mustard seed knows it's a mustard seed. If you know that Christ is your life, then there's nothing that you have to do. You don't have to build any boxes.
If Christ is your life, you can build a box or you can sit on your ass. It doesn't matter. If He is your life, and
where did that come from?
Are you one with Him? Are you two?
I can always resurrect myself, Gary, and that's what I do when I use my mind without repentance.
So then, at that point, you are not one with Christ.
Right, because I've resurrected the evil one.
Let's say you have repented, you are one with Christ, and you have a box to build as Christ only.
Then Christ would have said it, box come into existence.
Bullshit.
No, it's not bullshit.
Christ would not say, that's like...
Is there any evidence of Christ doing anything? Listen to me. Is there any evidence of Christ doing anything like that after His baptism?
Like doing something?
Like building a box?
No, that wasn't His job.
What? Can you believe, as He is in the world, so are we?
So then your message is everyone should walk around preaching and teaching and...
No, my message is everyone should do everything they can by faith and whatever else to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Okay.
Yeah, by faith, I think, is the important part. The deal is,
so what you do,
what happens to those thoughts once they're in captivity? In other words, they're in subjection to Christ. They're put to use.
They're
in
abandoned.
They're
abandoned. Abandon yourself. Take
no
thought.
Self is abandoned. If I'm out of the picture, if I abandon myself, then I don't know what my thoughts are doing. They're in subjection to Christ until I get back in the picture. And the problem is me.
That's what I'm
always thinking about in this context.
Well, all I'm saying to you, if you get back in the picture, then
have to repent.
Repent. You don't use what comes back in you and say it's Jesus. If you get back in the picture, you repent.
Yeah, but I'm not thinking about what I'm doing. Now we're talking
about
building a box. You know, it's like
I don't want any boxes here. That's it's the idea. Everything that Christ said was about in Matthew 5 and 6. We've gone through it many times. Abandon yourself for everything you want to eat, every clothes, and where you're going to sleep, everything. Abandon yourself. Give no thought. Then Paul expands on it in 2 Corinthians. He says what that means. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every imagination, and that just means the use of your mind to go forward or backward, casting down every imagination and every thought and bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? What is the obedience of Christ with regard to thought? Take no thought.
Sounds like premeditation or not premeditating.
No, it's faith or no faith.
Right. I mean, I asked you a few months ago, and I believe you said premeditated action is a faith. I mean, spontaneous action is a faith. Premeditated is of the mind, is of the world. Is of the
well, if it, my point is, if you think about it, it's not a faith, obviously. I'm saying to you, there's a way of living that's beyond anything that we have discussed. And that's the way the disciples lived. They abandoned themselves. And because they were total and abandoned, whatsoever they said was done for them by their Father which is in heaven. Now that's a way of discipleship that is extremely attractive to me. I'm not saying I'm there, but I'm saying that's what the scriptures teach. I'm saying there's a way that whoever you lay hands on is healed. I want us to bring back the first century discipleship. I'm not much interested in whether or not we're doing it or anybody's doing it now. I'm saying the scriptures are full of it. Full of this mystery of what this discipleship and abandonment means. And as long as I'm alive, that's what I'm going to preach. And I'm telling you, take no thought means take no thought. Bringing every thought into captivity. You've got to see this, what that means, to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There is no thought that you can have. That's why he said that, because to do that is abandonment. And abandonment is action, not thought. And all I'm saying, and I've preached this for 40 years, is that's the discipleship of the first century church.
That same discipleship is attractive to me too.
Well then,
but hang on. I mean, the thing is that there's things that I cannot make. I mean, I cannot make anything more than a slogan, because you said that if you lay hands on somebody, they're healed. Well, that took thought.
No, it isn't.
And it took asking God to do something, and that I cannot.
That's not it. Somebody, if anybody is sick, let them call for the elders. They lay hands on them and is healed.
Well, that's a thought.
It's not the thought. The thought is because somebody said they were sick. That's a thought.
No, it's a thought to say I want to pray for the get the elders.
No, they came. Well, that's because he is the disciple. I mean, you're the elder.
Okay.
That point is to use it again. You have to do something about this bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In your own integrity with regard to what that means, you must come to you. And I'm sorry, Gary, but you must be able to clarify that in your own mind in some way.
I have it clarified.
Well, I don't think that's clarified.
Because you don't understand what I speak.
You clarify it by justifying using cause and effect.
I am in the world. I am. I be. I do. God does what he does in the context of...
Not where you are, he doesn't. God will not occupy where you are.
You can't listen to a full sentence.
I just heard your sentence.
But you didn't understand it.
All right,
you have
then
to stop in the middle and say, only if you do something.
Yeah, now, repent.
God stops at a certain point and won't do anything. I don't believe that.
Well, he wouldn't have said, bring every thought into captivity at the obedience of Christ, if he didn't believe that, if he didn't say that. The point of it is, Gary, let me say, do you think it's possible that it might be possible to live like like the with abandonment of self?
I know it's possible.
Total abandonment of self, not using your mind. Take no thought. Take no thought. Take no thought.
That happens. That happens. I believe Christ is in me. And in that time frame, we'll call it, he is.
And he's taking thought?
And he lives through me.
Not to fear there. His humility is so great that he will not occupy in that temple wherever you are.
But I'm dead or I'm not dead.
You're right? Not dead if you're bringing yourself back to life.
According to you, nobody's dead. You don't preach to the dead man, you preach to the Antichrist.
You're right. I preach to the Antichrist that's raised himself from the deadly head wound and he's masquerading as you.
Why not preach to Christ in me?
He doesn't need preaching.
He needs edification.
No, you need edification. He doesn't need edification.
No, I need to die.
But you can't die by thinking. You can't think and die. They're not coexistible.
There's a point where, as a believer, you quit judging good and evil.
No, there isn't. There's a point. There's a point where you quit judging. Maybe, hopefully, I hope you start quit judging good and evil. But I hope you understand the difference between spirit and soul. You don't want to get back into soul. You want all your life to be led of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that God is the one who causes it to happen. He is.
So what does it mean to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ?
Well, what does it mean when Christ said these things, that you see principles of eternal life, but that they are they which testify of me?
Right.
Christ in me does that.
And he takes every thought into captivity.
Does he not?
No, you do. Must bring every thought into captivity, because if there's a thought, you've resurrected the evil one.
You've just killed Christ in me.
No, you put him in prison.
Not to me. You would say that.
But you're kidding yourself. You're trying to use sorcery to say that he's there, but I'm still doing my stuff. What's the difference between you and a Gentile?
Faith.
No, you're not using faith.
I don't use faith. Faith is not something to be used.
It's yours. But what are you using to get something then? What you're doing? You're using your mind to make a living. And all I'm saying to anybody in any of these arenas, if that's true, if you can accept, maybe that's true.
Can you accept it's not true?
No.
Okay, so
I'm asking
you. You have a very strong position.
Because the scriptures are clear. It says, abandon yourself, take no thought.
Well, yeah, it says that. Now, what does it mean? How does it manifest?
It means take no thought.
Well, we know that the word, when it's used in take no thought, is also used by Paul and other people, other places, saying he's taking thought for the church and the things that are happening.
Right.
So, we know that it doesn't mean not to take any thought. It means to take those thoughts and make them in subjection to Christ. And if there's not a thought that's in subjection to Christ, you slay it, because it's rebelling against his dominion.
But if there's a, and that means that if there's a thought you have that isn't faith, that you slay it.
Exactly.
And if it isn't faith, I lean in my own arm of understanding for anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
That's the whole thing I'm talking about.
But I think what Tom's talking about is it seems like you're saying no thoughts will be happening.
Yeah.
And thought, there's no way to shut that off. You can put us in like a CAT scan and things are happening in there.
But you ignore them.
You ignore them because there's in subjection to Christ. That's what you're calling for.
You're bringing every thought into captivity to the, not subjection, to the obedience.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And obedience here means he took no thought. The obedience of Christ means he gave it nothing, any thought that didn't stand the test of truth.
I'm just saying that, you know, if he said that in there, then Paul was disobeying him.
No, he wasn't.
By thinking, using that same phrase to talk about all the things that he had to do and taking thoughts for all the churches, and he was doing stuff. You know, things were happening.
Yeah, but they were happening by faith, not by thought.
Okay, well, then that's clarified something. I think.
Yeah, that helps, because I don't think that 2 times 3 is 6 is not a faith, and nor is it a faith. It's just one of those facts that you just deal with.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. I thank you, Father, you hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. Now the babes, one and one is no longer two. Because in him, one and one is no longer two. It's because that's the world. In him, it's faith alone.
I know, but that kind of goes back to the box thing. I'm sorry, it's an easy thing for me to figure, because the box is the box is just there. It doesn't have any component of it's going to happen tomorrow or it's.
But the component was something had to tell you to make a box.
I don't know why I'm making a box. I'm just agreeing that something said make a box. I'm going to make.
Make a waffle. I mean,
yeah,
use
make
something.
A waffle.
Make a waffle.
Yeah, make a waffle.
I want a half a waffle
okay,
instead of
if
a whole waffle.
The only way you.
Thank you.
Are we going to think about making half a waffle
waffle? The only thing
waffle?
It is.
I mean, you
it's
know.
The only thing it is, if that ever takes place, it's always for the benefit of others.
Okay, so right, he's making a box for the benefit of others.
That means
done.
You're under subjection to Christ, and then, you know, it's when I get in the picture, is when things got, at least for me, that's when things start freaking out.
Well, the Bible says it clearly, whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Right.
If taking thought you can see is of faith, then have at it.
I think that's a key part of it as far as what I'm doing. I serve my customers. I also get paid. They serve me. So I don't go around thinking about how evil I am all day long. But I do know when to repent. I do know when I'm being the wrong way. And I can turn from that.
Okay, well, all I'm asking you to do.
But let me finish. But in the scope of things, God reveals himself no matter what I'm doing. That's what he does. And if he needs me to go through some weird process, that he can then use that to reveal himself, I think that's what he does. That's how he is.
Well, again, as I've said so often in the last few years, if there's an issue where you think you need to use your mind to do something, then all I'm asking you to do is say, Father, this is I don't know if this is right or wrong. This is all I need to do, because I think this is, I need to do something. But just consider the possibility that it's a thought. If it's a thought, it's not a faith. And that's all I've ever asked any of you to do, is to take a possibility that's maybe there. And if it's a thought, then you don't know anything else to do. Feel like you have to build your box, then all I would ask you to do is say, Father, I don't know what else to do. To take the lowest seat always in these arenas. Even if you think it's the only thing you can do. But don't ever put God's name on those things that are not of faith. That's all I have ever asked. And then the ball is in his court. But if you're justifying it, if you're justifying something that is not of faith, then I think there's a problem.
I agree with that, definitely. If I think I have to justify making a box, I've already got the answer that I needed, and it's not the one I wanted to
get. Yeah, I'm already in the picture. Something wrong.
But if that's the point, whatever it is, if you have to use something to do, if you think you have to use cause and effect to do whatever it is you do, all I'm asking you to do is say, Father, I don't know what else to do. This may not be a faith, I recognize that, but I don't know what else to do. But don't justify it.
Yeah. It's clear to me, the one thing that I think is 100% absolute is when the word justify gets in the picture, you don't have a prayer.
Right.
You might as well just give it up right then.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that I was concerned about in you, Gary, is that it seems to me you were justifying it rather than considering the possibility that it was not a faith.
Yeah, I think about this stuff all the time. I don't X this when I walk out the door.
Okay. Well, all I'm, if we can agree that all I'm saying, and you know, I'm sometimes go fast, too fast to the end. But all I'm saying is, if you believe that God just wants us to live by faith alone, then if you have to do something that is really not a faith, say, Father, I don't know.
Or stop.
Or
you know,
right.
Like
if
when,
you, right.
Wait.
But if, but again,
wait,
if you're not sure, if
wait
you,
and
if
wait
you know,
for guidance to come.
Right.
If you're unsure.
But there's too many scriptures that talk about this thing of abandonment of self and take no thought, and bring every thought into captivity. There's too broad a brush of scriptures to just poo-poo it. Try to. All right? Take a big guy.
You've gone over your time.